All right, it's coming up to only 22 minutes to the top of the hour. Now, today, of course, it's Friday, and in our health slot, we turn our attention to a disease that continues to affect millions across the country and the continent, and that is malaria. Now, despite years of progress, malaria remains one of the leading public health challenges in South Sudan, especially among children and vulnerable communities. But there is also a growing hope, new tools, stronger responses, and renewed global commitment to ending the disease. Today, we are marking World Malaria Day under the theme, Driven to End Malaria. Now, now we can, and now we must. Well, to help us understand what this means in practical terms and what the situation looks like here at home, I'm joined here in the studio by my guest, Dr. Mustafa Lasu from the WHO, World Health Organization. Doctor, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Juma, and good morning to the listeners of Mirai FM. It's my pleasure to be here to talk about malaria again.
All right. Well, let's begin with the basics. Why does malaria remain such a major public health problem in South Sudan today?
Thank you so much. And malaria is a big problem, of course, to South Sudan, but not only South Sudan. Malaria is a very big global problem, and it is one of the leading cause of death globally. And in the last World Malaria Report, globally we have over 260 million cases only in 2025, with over 600 deaths. So it's a quite a big problem. And specifically for South Sudan, the reason why South Sudan continues to suffer the burden of malaria is, one is because of our environment, the climate. When you look at South Sudan, the weather is very, very favorable for the mosquito which transmits malaria to thrive. So that make it more common here. Then two, also we have a low uptake for the interventions that have been prescribed to prevent malaria. So you find that we have fewer people using insecticide nets in the country, fewer pregnant mothers using the prescribed fungicide that is supposed to be used for prevention of malaria in pregnancy, and other preventative measures that are there. Then finally, also, the vulnerabilities we have in the country that also increases the risk, including displacement because of floods, sometimes insecurity. So people live in makeshift environments, which exposes them to mosquito bites, and this fuels the transmission of malaria.
Well, Dr. Mustafa, we often hear that some areas are more affected than others in the country. Which states are experiencing the highest malaria burden, and why is that the case?
Malaria is experienced all over the country. But, of course, from the data that we have been working on from the DHIS2, we were able to do a calculation to look at the incidence per 100,000 of malaria cases in the country. And that is done through what we call the subnational tailoring to understand the burden of malaria in every state and in every county. And, of course, certain states have come out to be having higher prevalence of malaria. That those include Western Equatorial, Unity State, Northern Bahr al-Ghazal. And lately, we are also seeing malaria cases increasing in states like Upper Nile states, which previously had lower incidence in previous years, like 5 years ago. So we're also seeing some of these states also having higher incidence than previously. So we are going to continue doing this, because currently when you have this kind of data, it should be able to guide you in terms of the response you're having to malaria.
When we talk of malaria, people always, of course, when they start feeling like you have headache, definitely they'll just say, you have malaria, even if you're having some small pain in your joints, they'll conclude that you have malaria. So just walk us through some of the signs and symptoms of malaria that people should watch out for.
Okay, thank you. You know, most places when someone develops fever, it just equals to malaria. And even that has also stuck in the head of some healthcare workers, that when a patient has fever, that is malaria. Fever is one of the commonest signs of malaria. And of course, when we are categorizing the signs and symptoms of malaria, there are signs and symptoms that you can get when the malaria is just starting. Then there are others that you get when the malaria is advanced. So the fever, the headache that you get, the loss of appetite, the joint pains that you can get, some of these are the initial signs. But when someone is very sick, someone can become very sick, especially children and even adults, when they get cerebral malaria, they can get convulsions. We see that often in children. They can become confused, and they can get other complications. They can become unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
These are advanced signs and symptoms that come as a result of when the malaria becomes severe. So when you don't treat it early, you can be able to move from the simpler signs to more complicated signs. And what I always tell people, that the more you move on that ladder, the more complicated it becomes to treat, and the more it can leave very bad effects on you, because it can start as malaria, but for example, it can cause your kidneys to fail to work. Malaria can cause kidney failure. Malaria can affect your lungs and cause respiratory failure.
How is that?
Yes, I mean, when the parasite becomes too much in your body, they start affecting organs. And then the management changes from simple management of malaria to management of organs that have been affected by malaria.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't see that. I didn't know that. But of course, this is health matters. But let's talk about self-medication here, because when people feel like they have signs of malaria, or they just decide maybe to go and take drugs on their own without going to the doctor for a medical checkup, how dangerous is that?
Yes, the Ministry of Health, with support from WHO and partners, normally develop guidelines for the treatment of malaria. Like I said, the signs I'm seeing to malaria can be mild, or it can be severe, or complicated or uncomplicated malaria. So the guidelines prescribe the treatment based on the severity. Because if you come with uncomplicated malaria, then you are recommended to take the medication orally. If you have severe malaria, then you can get injections, which can be given through the veins or through the muscles. Now, the problem of self-medication, one, is that you might not know whether it was too much or too little. That's why it is very good that if you get the signs and symptoms, you first go and get tested, like it's recommended. Once you're tested, then they can prescribe to you the appropriate medication. But when you just treat, then you don't know if actually you had malaria, because there are many other diseases that presents with the similar signs and symptoms that malaria has. So when you do the test, then we can know what you have, and then you can be prescribed. Then two, self-medication also increases the risk for resistance. We are seeing across the region that countries are reporting resistance to the drugs that we use for malaria, for treatment of malaria. So when we continuously do self-treatment, time will come when the drugs we are having in the country, the malaria parasite will develop resistance. They will not be effective in treating malaria. That means that we shall not be able to clear out malaria. And the challenge we have is that we have current drugs now, but the pipeline for developing new drugs takes time. So we don't know when newer drugs will be developed. So it is important that we safeguard the drugs that we have in the market, the drugs that are in our guidelines for the treatment of malaria, to ensure that we don't develop resistant parasites. Resistant parasites are parasites that even when you treat with the medication we have, you don't clear the parasites from your blood system. And we're already seeing this in some of the regions. We are still doing studies to also ascertain the status of South Sudan in terms of this resistance. And when those findings are out, I think they will be shared accordingly.
Okay, looking at response, what is the WHO doing to support the Ministry of Health in tackling malaria in the country?
Thank you so much. The WHO works closely with the Ministry of Health and partners, one, to provide technical support in terms of the guidelines we are using. All the interventions that we are having in the country, we should be able to follow guidelines right away from the nets we used. The nets we use are supposed to be pre-qualified, and WHO does pre-qualification for all the nets that are supported, that are supplied across the country for malaria control. The other important function WHO has is supporting also in surveillance to ensure that we have data. Because when you have data and we know where we have the malaria, it helps us in responding. In addition to that, also capacity building and research. We need to do a lot of research. I already talked about resistance. Mm. There is a lot of research that we need to do to understand the parasites. Because if you understand the parasites, that is only when you can be able to fight it. So if you don't,
so is WHO supporting research?
Yes, WHO is working closely with the ministry to support research. We have currently we have finalized a research, a study on what we call therapeutic efficacy test, to see are the drugs that we use in the country still effective in the treatment of malaria, and of course the findings will be officially communicated. Then we are also working on a research to look at the test kits that we use for testing malaria. Mm. In the regions, we have countries that have also reported the test kits whereby when you test using the test kits, especially the RDTs, which are commonly used in our rural areas and even in urban areas because of lower availability of microscopes, you test someone is having malaria, but it tests negative. It is because of what we call in science as gene deletion. Hmm. I don't want to explain further, but just you get what we call false negative. So we need to do studies to find out how much of this we have in South Sudan, and that will help us to know should we continue using such test kits, and or we should be able to. So the National Malaria Program Control Program, working in collaboration with WHO and other partners, do some of these studies to guide the response to malaria in the country.
Let's talk about the prevention of malaria. How can individuals and communities practically protect themselves and reduce malaria cases in their daily lives?
Okay, I want to align this with the theme for this World Malaria Day. Mm. World Malaria Day is a day that was agreed upon on the 2007 World Health Assembly, and for this year, the theme is driven to end malaria. Now we can. Why did we say now we can? It is because we have tools. We have a lot of tools. The country has deployed a lot of tools that have been tested in other countries to fight malaria. And such tools include the nets, the insecticide-treated nets. The country is actually now in advanced plans to distribute 9.5 million nets. And I think this has already started in some states. Mm. But I think when we did the malaria program review last year, what we noticed that, yes, people have nets. And when these nets are distributed, people will have nets. But the challenge is in how are people using these nets? People tend not to use these nets appropriately. Mm. It is recommended that these nets, we should be able to use them every time we are going to bed at night. So that we can be able to prevent malaria. So the use of the net is something very, very important. Of course, we have other ways to prevent malaria, including malaria vaccine that was introduced in 2024, especially for children between 5 months and 23 months. So we recommend parents and caregivers to take their children for malaria vaccine. Malaria vaccine prevents our children from getting severe form of malaria, which can cause death. Then another recommendation is for everyone is that when you feel sick, when you feel you're unwell, you have any signs and symptoms of malaria, it is recommended that you go and get a checkup. Go and check up, go and go to the facility, nearby facility, have a checkup and get the right treatment. And also pregnant mothers. Pregnant mothers are recommended by WHO to take Fansida from the second trimester and the third trimester. This will prevent them from getting malaria, which can affect them and their unborn baby. And finally, also for our communities, the mosquitoes live in our environment. We should not make the environment suitable for the mosquitoes. We should be able to make it unsuitable.
And by doing what?
That can be by removing any stagnant water, because that's where the mosquitoes breed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they breed and they become adults, they live in nearby bushes, grass. So we should be able to remove such kind of environment near our communities, near our homes. That will prevent us from having mosquito bites.
Mm. All right. South Sudan is also listed among high burden, high impact countries. What does this classification mean, and what are its implications for the country's health response?
Thank you so much. I think last year on the 4th of December, that is when that declaration was made after assessment that was done. And high burden, high impact countries are a group of countries that actually hold the largest percentage of malaria cases, up to 70% globally. So there are a list of countries, and when you look at most of those countries, they are in the African region. And in Africa, out of the 54 countries, there are 44 which are prone to malaria. South Sudan is number 22. We are in the middle out of those countries. So being declared high burden, high impact, it means that we are part of those countries that are actually having a higher burden. We have a lot of malaria, in a simple term, in South Sudan. So that means that we need to be able to stop doing things as we have been doing. We need stronger political will and commitment to fight malaria. We need to use data. You need to use data to make our decisions. I already mentioned something called subnational tailoring. We need to know which states, which counties are having too much malaria, and we need to go to those locations and have specific interventions that will bring down the burden of malaria in those locations. We need to bring on board other sectors. Malaria is not only the problem of the health sector. Malaria should be tackled by other sectors, agriculture, because, I mean, agricultural farms, that's where we have, you can have mosquitoes in the farms. The water, people are working in water resources. So we need to bring schools, because we talk about children.
Mm.
So we need to have a multi-sectoral kind of approach to fight malaria. And finally, also, we need to have more resources. South Sudan needs to be able to attract more resources to fight malaria, because we have seen resources to fight malaria has been reducing, not only in South Sudan, but globally, because of very many factors.
All right, finally, looking ahead, given the current progress and challenges, are we realistically moving closer to eliminating malaria, and what more needs to be done?
Moving to malaria is a possibility. To end malaria is a very possibility. And it requires us to be able to work harder. I think the global technical strategy aims at actually significantly reducing malaria by 2030. And for us to achieve those goals, we need to be able to work and have all the sectors brought on board. When we have all the sectors brought on board and implement all those interventions, we can be able to come closer. But what is very, very important also is the communities. The communities have to become part of this, and they have to be able to also contribute and accept the interventions that have been prescribed to fight malaria, especially the preventative ones.
Mm.
Because when we accept those measures, like the use of nets, and we ensure that there is wider use of nets, our children are vaccinated, then I can say that we are moving closer to ending malaria in South Sudan, which is the goal, I think, for everyone.
All right. Many thanks indeed, Dr. Mustafa Lasu from the WHO. Many thanks for breaking down the malaria situation in South Sudan. And as we mark World Malaria Day under the theme driven to end malaria, now we can, now we must. A reminder that while malaria remains a major challenge, there are also stronger tools, renewed commitment and growing hope to reduce and eventually eliminate the disease. You're listening to